Welcome back, college basketball fans, to another Hoops HD podcast. This is Under the Radar, this regular season finale, David.
Yeah, it is the regular season finale, and I just saw before the show, I was honored, I was named by Hoops HD the Under the Radar cast member of the year. Thank you, everyone that voted in that.
I didn't vote. John's with us. Sleeka's with us too. John, did you vote in that?
No, I was getting the puppet bumper ready for next week.
But one person voted and I won.
All right. So David's running his own elections. You should run for president, but let's...
I can't do any worse.
Let's talk about what this show is about. This is the Under the Radar podcast. John, you want to finish the season off by giving us the last explanation of what it means to be under the radar?
There are two rules for Under the Radar. Number one is you are not a member of the 10 regular multi-bid leagues, would be the Power Five, along with the Big East, the American, the Atlantic 10, the West Coast Conference, and the Mountain West. And number two, you can't be a member of the top 25. So Buffalo, for example, has not been in these podcasts for most of the year. And as of Monday, Wofford will not be mentioned tonight either.
Right. Now, David, everyone that's watching say, what the hell do you mean this is your last Under the Radar podcast? That the best time of the year for Under the Radar conference tournaments is about to start. Why are we stopping?
It doesn't seem like it is, because as of Sunday, we're going to be on every single night, all throughout championship week.
Nonstop, right? We're just going to have
nonstop for 2 weeks. We're not even going off the air. We're not even recording episodes. We're just on all day long. Yeah. If you're new to college basketball, which if you're watching this, I seriously doubt that you are, championship week is a two-week event. It's when all the conference tournaments are. These are championship tournaments. The winner of the tournament, even if they finished in sixth place, is technically the conference champion and gets a bid to the NCAA tournament. There's games every night starting in 5 days, 4 days, anyway, starting on Monday.
Yep.
And every night, we actually start Sunday because, like, we can't preview Monday's games unless we start on Sunday. We will be coming to you every night. So it's not that we're going rogue. It's not that we're ignoring all of the Under the Radar conferences. It's just that our format's changing.
Yeah, and we'll be discussing them every single night from here on out. Beginning on Sunday night at least. We will be back tomorrow night, Thursday night, with a bracket rundown show before any of that. But... Mm-hmm. Let's get right into what we like to do with these shows is start off with a feature conference. And I just have to go with a conference that we haven't featured all season. It's been kind of not really close all season. And suddenly, as of tonight, we suddenly have a three-way tie for first place with home court throughout the conference tournament up for grabs. So let's talk a little bit of Patriot League tonight.
Yeah. Well, good pick. Bucknell was three games in front 3 games ago. They had a 12-2 record, and if you go back and read the write-ups, at least twice we said Bucknell can clinch at least a share of first place, and they're inching closer. Now Colgate and Lehigh have both caught them. They had a chance to win the night, which would have clinched it for them, even had they not won outright, because they had the tiebreaker over both those teams. But here they are. Now, again, in this situation, I know you have Bucknell down on three, but if it ends up in a three-way tie, Bucknell wins because they swept.
Bucknell, this is where it gets a little bit interesting, David, because I've been doing some research tonight on Patriot League tiebreakers. Bucknell and Colgate both swept Lehigh, but Bucknell and Colgate split. So, should we
end up... Yeah, but isn't it 3-1...
Because they split. Now, the Patriot League, with a very interesting tiebreaker format that most other conferences do not use, they say that the first tiebreaker is head-to-head at a three-way tie, head-to-head among the three teams. If that does not resolve the tiebreaker, even if two teams are tied and one is not, you stay in the three-team tiebreaker format. You do not go to a two-team tiebreaker format. Therefore, the next step is how those three teams each did against the fourth or against the number four overall team.
Yeah.
Which would be either American or Army. Lehigh is the only one of those teams that swept both American and Army this season. Therefore, there is a pretty good chance in a three-way tie, believe it or not, that Lehigh ends up with a one seed. Very strange format.
And there is a path to that because none of those three face each other in the last game. So, good pick tonight for starters, Chad.
A very strange format that a team that went 0-4 against the two teams it tied with could win the tiebreaker in the Patriot League's strange format of a tie of doing tiebreaker.
Right. Historically, this is not the first time we've had some strange things happening in the Patriot League. I remember let me finish. Back in 2000, when John Feinstein actually wrote the book The Last Amateurs, Lafayette and Navy, I think, were the top two teams at that point, but I think what happened there was you had Lafayette opting for the number one seed and Navy actually getting a bye into the semifinals since it was actually a 7-team tournament at the time.
Good stuff there, John. How crazy is it that a team that for 2 weeks had a magic number to locking up home court, that there's a very real chance that they won't even be playing a semifinal?
Bucknell has a chance they could have it in the 3 seed, because if Lehigh does get the 1 seed, then in between Colgate and Bucknell for the 2 seed, it could actually come down to, or theoretically, if Lehigh loses on Saturday and it's a 2-way tie with Colgate and Bucknell, it may come down to how Holy Cross and Loyola do in their games on Saturday, which one finishes better, because each of them, I believe that Colgate lost a game to Loyola, Bucknell lost a game to Holy Cross this season, so it could get very, very strange here at the end of the day. We're going to have about 3 pages of tiebreaker scenarios being released by the Patriot League sometime in the next couple of days here, I think.
Yeah, well, better than the American that just flipped a coin 1 year.
It goes to net. If everything else fails, it goes to net in the conference. So, yeah. And again, those are pretty close numbers, so it could come down to how things play out. But Colgate has the lead in the net if it goes that far. There are those games coming up for Saturday. Lehigh at Loyola, Colgate at Lafayette, Bucknell hosting Army. All three about equal difficulty. Two of them on the road, Bucknell with probably the fourth or fifth best team there in Army. So don't know how it's going to turn out. But as you see there, end of the regular season on Saturday. We will know by Saturday night, or maybe Sunday morning if it goes to net, what the seeds are of this conference tournament.
Right, or if they're late getting it out Monday, Tuesday, depends.
It could be. Well, I think the conference tournament starts Tuesday, so I hope that they
know until then.
They may just tell everybody, just don't go anywhere yet. We'll figure it out at some point.
Right.
But that is the Patriot League, so exciting finish to the Patriot League after we've had a pretty blah season that Bucknell was running away with for the first all the way through the February 20th a week ago. Yeah. So definitely games I'll be watching, but let's go back and let's talk about the other huge upset of the night. And John, let me bring you in here. You're the one that noted it for everybody at first here. But we had a major upset at the bottom of the America East tonight.
Yeah, this had a major centenary implications with New Hampshire going on the road to Albany, and the Wildcats actually did manage to pull out a 4-point win right here. So that's going to be the first road win for UNH, and amazingly enough, they're actually a game behind Maine now for, I think, the final playoff spot in the America East.
Yeah, and with a game against Maine to end the regular season in the middle of next week, so New Hampshire still has a path to a spot in the America East tournament, believe it or not, but David, the Centenary Award, that's the award we give here at Hoops HD every year to the worst team in D1. With that win tonight at Albany, I think we got to look to the team that I just put up on the right there. We haven't gone to the WAC yet, but
Chicago State? And you don't really like to see that with the Centenary Award, but they do have one. Chicago.
Well, everyone has a D1 win at this point, so we're gonna have to give somebody with a D1 win.
That is now the one thing Chicago State just does not have the tier 4 losses that New Hampshire has. I mean, that is pretty atrocious.
I have tough trouble giving it to a team that won a game on the road, David. I mean, it's a road win.
Yeah.
Tonight at Albany, it's really tough for me to still give it to
New Hampshire. Plus, Chicago State's only D1 win was against 305 Eastern Illinois, and for what it's worth, New Hampshire, 265 and 268.
I mean, David, there is a chance if Albany wins a couple more games that Albany win could be a tier 3 win.
Chicago State did not lose to a sub-300 team at home. I mean, they just haven't lifted the weight that we typically see out of the Centenary winner.
They do still have 3 home games left, though, including UMKC. So,
yeah.
But I think it's maybe one of our best Centenary Award winners ever.
Do we have time? We may not. I know we got to keep it moving. This is a great story. If you're tuning in, you're wondering what the Centenary Award is. It isn't just that we're honoring the worst team in college basketball. This was actually birthed not because we like making fun of the worst team, but because we liked driving Kyle Lamb insane. Chad, would you like to recount that story?
It happened. It's called the Centenary Award because of Centenary University of Louisiana, the school that Robert Parrish went there, correct?
Yes,
I believe he did. And Centenary's last season in Division One, they did not even qualify for what was at that point the Mid-Continent Tournament, I believe it was. It's now the Summit League. And we had I think that was our first or second year, maybe a second or third year doing our mock committee. And one of the rules said that if a certain amount of people vote a team onto the under consideration field, they go under consideration.
Yes.
And we all got together and said, we're all going to vote Centenary, despite having, I think, one D1 win all season, onto the under consideration board for our mock committee.
And Kyle Lamb was chairing the committee at the time. And Kyle Lamb was running it like you thought he was running like the trials at Nuremberg. He was very, very serious about the mock committee and the procedure, and it was really, really funny.
But he attempted several times to vote them off the board.
Yeah.
And following the rules, we refused to. We had enough votes to leave them under the board. Drove him nuts. So we didn't put them in our field or anything, but we voted them under consideration, and then we named an award after them for the rest.
Yes.
Sadly, I was not on the panel at the time, but I could just picture a scene similar to today's Cohen hearings in D.C.
It was pretty much like that. But let's take a quick look at the upcoming standings in schedule in the America East. You see Vermont, by the way, one game up on Stony Brook. Stony Brook with a big win tonight over UMBC to clinch at least the number two seed overall.
Yeah, real pivotal game tonight because obviously had UMBC won, they would have jumped over Stony Brook. So, like, with a win, Stony Brook at least getting to host the semis and still has a chance to catch Vermont this weekend.
A loss
would have knocked them. Well, it'll determine who gets home court. It's a huge game.
Yeah, absolutely huge game this weekend, Stony Brook at Vermont. I believe that Stony Brook would have the tiebreaker should they end up tied.
Because they would have swept Vermont. So. This one I know. I'm not up on the Patriot, but this one I know. Yeah.
Okay. But this conference, interestingly, does play through Tuesday when its regular season ends. Most of these conferences that do end this week are beginning Saturday. One last batch of four games that are coming up on Tuesday in the America East before that bracket is released.
And how about this, Chad? Kind of special here that it's an 8-team tournament. One of the teams is left out, but not technically, but practically we've got all 9 in this year, don't we?
It could. It depends on what happens Saturday. Should New Hampshire lose and Maine win, it will not,
not
happen. But if both New Hampshire and Maine lose, or both New Hampshire and Maine win this weekend, or should Maine lose and New Hampshire win, then that game Tuesday will be a single game tiebreaker to determine the final spot, which leads us right into the Atlantic Sun, where guess what? We've got the same exact thing happening here coming up Friday night. Stetson and Kennesaw State will be playing Friday night, John, in a one game that will determine who gets the 8th and final spot in the A-Sun tournament.
Yep, and that was because we had found out recently that a North Alabama is actually going to be eligible to participate in the Atlantic Sun tournament in their first year of Division One membership. They can't win the automatic bid to the tournament, obviously, but as we saw earlier in the year, North Alabama can be a bit of a tough out at times in the conference.
Yeah, if they get that 6th seed, they'll have a quarterfinal. They may be able to win against an NJIT or a North Florida or Gulf Coast. And they'll be playing for the – if they do win the conference tournament, whoever the number one seed is gets the automatic bid.
Yeah, so it's not the runner-up in the tournament. It's the overall number one seed if North Alabama were to win it. 10-20 on the year overall, 71 wins, all in conference. I don't say this to disparage or belittle them. For a team that's in its first year of transition, not a bad year. And I mean that seriously. Like 71 wins for a first-year transitional team.
I mean, the big thing, though, is going to be who ends up getting that coveted number one overall seed between Liberty and Lipscomb there.
Yeah, they split during the regular season. Now, I believe, I'm not sure, that the tiebreaker is adjusted defensive efficiency. Is that correct?
No, it is not adjusted defensive. You know, first of all, they both got to win Friday. Liberty, a bit of a test at NJIT. Liberty suffered a loss to North Florida. I believe that Lipscomb is going to have that the edge for the tiebreaker should they end up tied. That's what my understanding is. John, am I right on that?
I'm sorry. Repeat that, please.
Just say yes.
I won't ask what game you were watching.
the question was, who would have the tiebreaker edge should Liberty and Lipscomb end up tied at the end of the regular season?
Right now, it would probably be Lipscomb, but ultimately it's going to depend on better head-to-head versus who's going to be in the third spot or fourth spot, because right now North Florida has a win against Liberty, and the only way Liberty would be able to win if it came down to Florida Gulf Coast being on
top. So that's how they do it. It's not NET. It's the next down in the standings.
Exactly. Unless you get to the end of the standings and they're still tied, then you go to the NET.
Okay.
So, it's going to depend. If Gulf Coast should happen to win, now you're looking at a situation where Gulf Coast and North Florida are tied. Those two teams, I believe, actually split through the regular season, so it may end up going down to NET in that situation. So, Lipscomb definitely has the edge, though, for the tiebreaker head-to-head.
Yeah, looking at Lipscomb, they were inside our bubble. I don't – Tytel never really had them in there. I think he did one week. He's the selection committee guessing expert. Our committee – if the bubble doesn't shape up throughout championship week, which it probably will, it's just formatted that way, win in advance format, that the teams that need wins will get the chance and get them. But they might still make our field.
They might, but any loss – well, I guess, I mean, if it is a loss to Liberty in the ASUN championship game, it's got to be – it can't be a bad loss. And I don't know that Liberty in the ASUN title game is a bad loss. Anything else is a bad loss in this conference. Yes. Including at North Alabama on Friday.
Yes, very much.
And losing on their home court may also prove to be debilitating if it comes to that point as well.
Yeah, Lipscomb really not looking sharp at all the last week or two. After looking very, very good all season long, this is a team many don't remember. They went to Louisville, lost by 4, were right in there, had a chance to win. You know, won at TCU, won at SMU. Well, winning at SMU isn't that big of a deal, as it turns out, but this was a good team.
Well, I'll tell you what, one last comment about the ASUN, though. When we do our show, our first of our video notebooks here on Sunday night, this is the only conference we're going to be discussing. They do start their tournament first coming up on Monday. So either Liberty or Lipscomb will be playing the winner of that Stetson-Kennesaw State game in the 1-8 game, for example, and going on up from there. The loser of those two will be playing Jacksonville in the 2-7 game, and Alabama should be the 6th seed, but Let's keep rolling here because we are really going way behind schedule already.
Yeah, we really are.
Okay, we're going to start trying to move a little quicker for the rest of the show here. Big Sky Conference, Montana.
Predetermined site. We don't need – yeah, who cares?
But Montana did play Northern Colorado and lost at home to Northern Colorado Monday night, which tightened up things in the standings. We still have another week and a half of conference play left in this league. But it is close for that battle, at least for the – guaranteed NIT bid spot there.
Right. And I believe it's an 18-game schedule, so you got to look Idaho or all 11 in. I forget.
Yes, all 11 are in the tournament.
Never mind. Nothing really to discuss here. Montana, actually, I was starting to believe in them. That's probably why they lost at home to Northern Colorado.
Well, they've got Southern Utah and Northern Arizona at home this week, while Northern Colorado's got a tough game Thursday night here at home against Weber State. Before they, I guess their next game after that is at home against Idaho State.
They already have a loss against Weber State on their record, so that would potentially affect any tiebreaker between Montana and NOCO here.
Yeah, and real nice win for Northern Colorado. It's not easy to go into Montana and win, but they played a really good game.
Big South Conference, where Campbell won another game tonight. They are still a game behind Radford overall in the standings here. With the battle to determine who gets home court advantage, at least for the way this conference works is the number one seed will be hosting the quarterfinals and the semifinals on their home court.
Right.
And then the highest remaining seed will host the championship game.
And this is something. Radford and Campbell close against each other, and that will decide it.
Yes, you are correct. They do play each other. I'm pretty certain that the winner of that game, if Campbell wins, it ends up being a tie. I think that Campbell would hold the tiebreaker in that case.
They do.
Yeah, I think they would have a season sweep of Radford in that case.
Okay, yes, thank you. So that game Saturday, another big game to circle under the radar. That is the number one seed. That is hosting the conference tournament on your home court, having a chance to play the championship game at home.
Yeah.
Circle that one.
And that what watch that game anyway, because those are two really fun teams to watch, that Campbell-Radford game.
And Chris Clemens did, I believe, pick up 34 points tonight in Campbell's win. He has a chance to pass Doug McDermott coming up here on this game. So
yeah,
on that too, moving to fifth all time, and number two all time is still within his grasp, depending on how many postseason games they play.
Right. Yeah.
Let's keep things rolling here in the Big West, where another team, David. John, let me ask you about this team, David. We know you love them, but John, what about this Irvine team that did something like just disgusting to Cal Poly last week?
Yeah, that was in one of their home games, and actually the only game they had played last week. So they'll get a little bit of a rest before they come down the stretch for the Big West tournament in Anaheim. But Cal State Fullerton, still a one-game lead on UC Santa Barbara as far as the second seed goes right now, although UCSB did beat Fullerton over the weekend to at least get a little closer in the standings.
Yeah, not a lot of love for the Eaters, at least not as much as you would expect, considering how good they are. The net certainly doesn't like them. The RPI likes them a little bit. There's San Antonio.
There it is. Okay, we lost the screen there for a second. I got it. Should be coming back up. There we go.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're not higher in the rankings, because this is a pretty good team, and I think that they can really squeeze somebody in the round of 64 if they were to win the conference tournament.
Yeah, well, two road tests this week. David, first of all, they're at UC Davis, and then the huge ones, John, circling it Saturday.
Oh,
it's the Rivervine Cup again.
A Rivervine
Cup. Well, they have the Rivervine Cup on Saturday, but they also have the Divine matchup with UC Davis tomorrow. Yeah, so
a couple of huge huge rivalry games here. That is the schedule there in the Big West. We still have another week in this conference as well. We've got that conference doesn't end until next weekend. But during those video notebooks, we'll discuss some of the regular season stuff during our news and notes if it's noteworthy. John, over in the Colonial, which is a conference that is wrapping up this weekend, Hofstra now with a one-game lead over Northeastern. They did beat Towson, but then they pulled another head-scratcher, losing at home to James Madison on Saturday.
There were several head-scratchers among under-the-radar leaders, and this is another race with Northeastern obviously winning both of their games. Huskies are now only one game back of Hofstra right now.
Yeah, and David, who has the tiebreaker in that battle? Do we know?
It doesn't matter. It's at a predetermined site. So okay. All that's at stake is the color of the jersey. Obviously, Hofstra, I mean, they have the path to the first place. I think that they have the highest ceiling. They don't always play up to it. But, I mean, you know, when they're good, they're good.
Yeah, and as you can see there's Hofstra's profile on the left. I'll put Northeastern over here on the right. The two teams did split head-to-head against each other. Hofstra with the road trips. They actually both have the road trips to Drexel and Delaware. If we go to how they did against the third-place team, Hofstra would have the tiebreaker because Northeastern did lose a game to Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even get to the right screen anymore. You know what? I'm just screwing this all up. David, I think it's time to go to the replay.
Yeah, it is. Like, do we have a yes, there it is. There it is. Okay. All right, let's go to the replay.
All right. It's going to take 3 or 4 minutes, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, okay. It has to be indisputable, so we have to make sure there's no dispute.
It's never easy with a West Virginia fan looking over your shoulders either.
Right.
There's an upcoming schedule there. Regular season ends on Saturday at the Colonial. Let's move things right along, though, to Conference USA.
Yes.
Where we are continuing on in bonus play. What are we calling it? Pod play, pool play.
Pod play is what I like calling it.
But, pod play. Well, there's the three pods in three different colors, so the pods are not crossing over yet. The top pod is all in the top five spots.
Yeah.
Ultimately, though, up two games now with a nice win over Western Kentucky this week.
Yeah, it was a really nice win, and the Old Dominion's been looking pretty good for a while. I don't like them as much as some of the AP voters do. My God, they're up to number 33, but this is a team that's built to win a game in the round of 64. I think Western Kentucky is as well, albeit they have to get there first. But this is a conference, I know we mentioned it before, we'll mention it again, 4 years in a row they've put a team in the round of 32, and I think Old Dominion could do it again if they are the team that gets out.
Texas San Antonio is the only other team that could possibly win it outright since they were actually idle on Saturday, but
yeah.
Old Dominion more or less holds all the cards for the number one seed here.
Yeah, and they're at San Antonio. They're tomorrow night, Thursday night, they're at San Antonio, and then they're hosting UAB.
Right, and a pretty good season for the Monarchs. I just realized I forgot to vote for them, I think, in the top 25. I put the same team in twice by mistake and then couldn't remember why. But Old Dominion, you know, they got the win at Syracuse. They have a couple of other decent ones too. So
you actually did vote for them, David. I'll get
it. Oh, okay.
You threw them in there. I'll save you on that one.
All right.
You did not mess that up. But, we are actually going to see two teams eliminated here. Beginning, one of the two teams is going to be eliminated Sunday. The loser of UTEP Charlotte is definitely out. The winner is probably going to be eliminated come next Wednesday. As well. We do have an elimination game there coming up Sunday.
We do, yes.
Technically.
Yeah.
If there's ever a game not to watch in CUSA, it's UTEP Charlotte this Sunday.
But it's an elimination game. So it's a game to watch.
The Horizon League, John. We got a new first place team outright in the Horizon League.
You know, the team that fell out of first place was a real head-scratcher in Northern Kentucky, and that, first of all, they struggled against Youngstown State, who was, in all fairness, coming in with a six-game winning streak, but there was no excuse for losing rather convincingly to a team that was first off the survival board, at least in terms of failing to qualify for their conference tournament.
First off the survival board nationally, the very first team that fell off our survival board, the first team that was eliminated from being able to make its conference tournament was Cleveland State, and NKU loses at home to them. It was one of the most mind-boggling games I've ever seen in my entire life, quite honestly. It was,
and I think that also broke what was a 20-game winning streak at home for the Norse as well.
Yeah, it was stupefying. I mean, it was just...
But now the NKU is looking to be the 2 seed and therefore not be able to host the conference tournament. Wright State is going to be the 1 seed and also not be able to host
Not able to host the conference tournament. Detroit, coming in at 8th, could get the tournament in their home city, though.
Yeah. Yes, we could have the 8 seed hosting the conference tournament in this league here. You see Wright State is at Green Bay and at Milwaukee. Same with NKU, their travel partners. Green Bay and Milwaukee road trip to end the season here. Detroit hosting IUPUI and Illinois Chicago. They really need to go 0-2 to get that 8 seed and host as
But your field is set, as far as the conference tournament goes, and it's going to come down to obviously one bid, whoever wins it.
Yeah. Moving over to a conference that was almost our feature conference for the night until we saw some craziness in the Patriot League, but the Ivy League here got a little bit interesting over the past week as well. Even though Dartmouth and Columbia are on the verge of elimination here, we got a nice three-way battle, I think, heating up here for the fourth and final spot in the conference tournament over the last 2 weeks.
Brown,
Cornell, and Penn.
If you did not see the Harvard-Yale game, I am sorry. It was fantastic.
If you didn't see the last minute of it.
Oh, I know, especially the last minute of it. And it was very pivotal. Yale wins that game. Suddenly they've got a 2-game lead with 4 games to go. And, they've basically – pretty much have the 1 seed tied up. They still have a 1-game lead, but I mean, both Harvard and Princeton are within reach of it. How much fun is this tournament going to be?
It's going to be fun if you're a Brown fan, because they actually entered the picture themselves thanks to their sweep against Harvard and the win of the Brown Mouth Cup against Dartmouth.
I have a question, and I don't know the answer. This is not a question for the benefit of the audience. In the past, when this was a one-bid league, there were no tiebreakers. It was, if you were tied, you played it off. How do they break the tie now?
They have a standard format of a tiebreaker system, most other conferences do now. There is no one-game playoff anymore for the fourth seed. Brown, Cornell, tied for that fourth. They actually play Saturday, so another game to circle on Saturday. A lot of pivotal games here, but that winner of that game should have a lead. Penn, with a trip to Harvard Friday night, that's suddenly almost a must-win game on the road at Harvard if they want to stay in contention for this fourth seed.
Right, your Big Five champions.
Your undefeated Big Five champions.
Your undefeated Big Five champions.
I think we need to go to the replay on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, can we go to, there we go. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, not
okay.
yet.
Oh, no, okay, back, on. Okay.
Talika, can you come over to the, we need the third referee.
And that means it is in dispute.
Yeah.
Let's keep things moving here. Metro Atlantic Conference. This was our future conference last week. It is again another conference of mass chaos for the number one seed. Five teams within a game of each other now, with one or two games to go. Niagara just knocked off Canisius tonight. Actually, I guess I didn't even get to see that game.
So a four-way tie at least in the loss column. I know Iona has played the extra game and is up there, but. This is great, great stuff. I wish home court advantage was at stake, because imagine how much greater it would be if it were. And I think St. Peter's takes it in Mac Madness.
That could happen. The way this conference played out this year, when you have the Monmouth team, you know, now in sixth place, but they were up there at the top of the conference for a while after only winning one non-conference game.
Well, let's not forget where we were at this time last year, because we said Clusing now has two definitions. One is winning or losing a game that you have no business losing. And number two is just winning the Metro Atlantic year after year, it seems now.
But they don't seem to ever be the number one seed. They have a good shot to be. In fact, I think they'll probably be the one seed if they do catch this, if they do win their one remaining game here. And that's a little bit of a surprise here. The Rat Rider coming up Friday night in their final game. Not an easy game by any means.
Right.
And a lot of, I mean, all, if you look at this, I think there's seven games up there. Any and all of them may determine that the top seed here. It's going to be
right. They do. And there is an NIT bid on the line. So, I mean, there is something at stake.
Yeah. And I don't expect the one seed to win this conference tournament. I wouldn't be surprised if the six or seven seed wins.
Right. I wouldn't. Let's
go over to the Mid-American Conference. John, you said you told us we're not allowed to talk about Buffalo. Is there anything else to discuss if we can't discuss Buffalo?
We can now discuss Bowling Green, who has suddenly gone into a two-game slide. They lose in overtime at Ohio on Friday and actually come home and lose only their second game at the Stroh Center against Mother Miami, who has actually beaten the Falcons twice now. So it actually gives he who must not be named a two-game lead in the standings now.
Yeah.
We might have a bit of a battle now between Bowling Green and Toledo for the two seed with I think, still four games left to play in this conference.
And Toledo would have that tiebreaker should it come to that.
Yeah, three games left to play. I apologize. But, David, the upcoming schedule for this week in the Mid-American Conference, as we keep an eye on that, on the battle for the two seed at least, we do see that Buffalo at Miami. Now, we're not allowed to discuss that one. I guess we can look at Toledo at Central Michigan, and then hosting Western Michigan, while Bowling Green hosts Kent State and then goes to Akron.
Yeah. And he who shall not be named, because they're not under the radar, I thought that they would be challenged in this conference. And, I mean, I know that they have a couple conference losses, but this is a tough league to run through, and they've pretty much done it. So
he who shall not be mentioned has two road games coming up, though, and it's always tough to play on the road in this conference.
Yeah, it is.
Even if they are the fifth and sixth place team in the East Division. Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. John, I know that you really want to discuss this league and your love of Norfolk State, who pulled out a one-point win at Morgan on Saturday.
Yeah, unfortunately, a little bit of a tough week for the team of the people as well, losing to NCAAT and both NC Central. So that puts them out of position for the time being, at least as far as a first-round bye here.
That puts them in the sixth spot, actually, because FAMU is ineligible, so they'd be lined up for the 6-11 game. Still only a game behind that fifth seed, though.
Right, and a real unfortunate story going on there. You hate to see a team have to transition down when they don't want to, and it's amazing they're doing as well as they are when they've literally had everything taken from them.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. This is even though they're only 9-18 against D1 opponents, 7-7 in the conference shows that this is a team that can compete in the MEAC.
Yeah, with nothing.
In the MEAC, why are you going down? Well, while teams like Delaware State and Maryland Eastern Shore, who are way worse than you, are saying, hey, we're where we belong. We belong at D1.
Well, yeah.
I was going to say you belong at D1 also. Ridiculous.
Right. You belong where you want to be, which is D1. So.
upcoming schedule for this next week in the MEAC. This conference still has another week and a half or so left to go, but Norfolk State hosting Coppin State at Delaware State, on the verge of clinching that outright first place finish and at least the spot in the NIT.
If they don't clinch it, something is terribly, terribly wrong.
And this is a case, conference tournament in Norfolk, so it's going to play out correctly. It's not at campus sites, but the top seed is going to host, so I'm okay with that this year. Missouri Valley Conference, I think we had a game going on right now. Actually, Drake is putting the finishing touches on Indiana State as we record this, so they're about to take a lead over Loyola Chicago. Who are they playing tonight as well? I believe they are.
I think they were, yeah.
They are actually in a tie game with Northern Iowa late as we record this, so depending on how that game plays out. But Missouri State suffers the loss tonight to drop out of that what had been a three-way tie heading into the day for first place.
Yeah.
And how about Ben Jacobson's Northern Iowa team? If they pull out that game tonight, 10-7, only a game out of first place.
After a really unspectacular beginning to the season, finishing kind of strong there for Northern Iowa. And the thing about this tournament, you can tell by looking at the standings, there's a lot of parity in this league, maybe to the detriment of the top of the league because no one was able to run away with it. But anyway, beautiful San Antonio.
Having some computer issues tonight, but we're working on it.
I mean, shouldn't we have beautiful St. Louis if we're talking about the Missouri Valley?
I'll work on that one for the
– But this tournament is a jamboree. I mean, it's just a complete toss-up. It's anybody's to win.
You see some of the upcoming games this weekend. Now, Drake at Missouri State, if some of these scores hold up, that may be for the number one seed. Bradley at Loyola Chicago also coming up on Saturday. But this is always a fun conference tournament. This may be, you're right, David, this, we may have two games separating first and seventh place here in the standings. Could be anybody's conference tournament to win.
Right.
Where do we go next? How about our favorite conference?
Yes. Love
the Northeast Conference, or should we go back to replay?
Let's go back to the, there we go.
Okay, Northeast Conference. SFPA, John, now a game up in first place.
Well, SFPA is going to be one of the stories. They also had a bit of a surprising loss at home against Long Island Brooklyn, but Fairleigh Dickinson is another team that's quietly come back into a tie for second place thanks to wins against Sacred Heart and Wagner.
Right, we've been talking, David, last week that Mount St. Mary's and Central Connecticut were both making runs on the final conference tournament spots. That has completely fallen apart. Looks like they'll both be eliminated probably as early as tomorrow night.
Probably so. We have the games over there that you need to watch. Chad, could you just circle the one? Oh, wait. No, that's the one.
Here we go. That was the coming up 2 seconds here. It's coming up the upcoming week in the Northeast Conference.
Yeah.
Which one should I
circle? Someone just circle the games that you need to watch in this league.
All right. It would be... Let's see. The ones I just highlighted.
The ones you just highlighted. That's what you need to watch.
Those are the games to watch. Yeah. Yes. And again, end of the regular season and unbelievably fun conference tournament coming up here.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's just going to be – it's awesome. I love this tournament. I really, really do.
It looks like we might still have a bit of a battle here for the fourth first-round bye between Sacred Heart, SFBK, and Wagner in these last few days here. So keep an eye on that as well. You want to host that quarterfinal round game, if nothing else.
Right.
Ohio Valley Conference, who's playing for, eight teams to see if we get which eight teams go ahead and go to Evansville for the Evansville, Indiana for the Ohio Valley Conference tournament sponsored by visitmyrtlebeach.com.
We've got a lot of things going on there that should not have anything to do with each other, but seemingly do.
The way the schedule was set up, these top four teams have been done playing with each other for a couple of weeks now. So they've all been playing the dregs of the conference the last couple of weeks, and they're going to
Look at the difference in everything. Games, as six games separate Jack State from Eastern Illinois, and they're separated from my math tells me is that 180 spots in the net.
The only interesting thing that you're going to see here over this last couple days here, Thursday and Saturday, is this battle for the seventh and eighth seeds in the conference tournament. It looks like Eastern Illinois, Moorhead, probably in line for the five and the six seeds. Tennessee State with a game up on the seventh seed, but only eight teams get in. three-way tie right now for that eight seed. So that,
by my math, the smallest difference in the net is actually going to be 126 between Moorhead and Jacksonville State.
SAU, have they even ever made the OVC tournament? I don't know that they have.
No, I thought they did once.
They may have made it once, but you know, they have a shot here with a pair of home games against Tennessee Tech, who is the last place team. Jack State, who's a pretty good team, but if they can somehow win both of them, they may make that conference tournament even.
Although if you're Austin Peay, if you can actually sweep the weekend series, there is a possibility they could actually sneak into a double bye, because one of their trips is going to be at Murray State on Saturday.
You're right. There is one game that we're circling. You're right, that Austin Peay Murray State game. John, thanks for catching that.
Even the 2-7-9 teams, Chad, they're likely to both lose on Thursday, Eastern Illinois and Moorhead, which could make for an interesting Saturday.
Could be a real fun Saturday. Yes, yeah, SEMO and Tennessee Tech, they're pretty much done, but the rest of them should be there. We already talked Patriot League. Why don't we run over to another conference with a team we're not going to discuss? John, you didn't discuss Buffalo, so why don't you not discuss Wofford?
Well, we can discuss one of the teams that they beat down, and that, well, not really beat down, but ended up beating Furman, which now puts the Paladins for the time being in the number four slot, which if you look at the SoCon Conference Tournament, they would probably have to beat team number two, who shall not be named, to really have an at-large hope. But
Go ahead, John.
The other big result would be a UNC Greensboro beating East Tennessee State to all but lock up the second spot in the conference tournament now. So the Spartans, if they're able to beat East Tennessee State, and even if they lose in the championship game, there's still a possibility they might get an at-large, but they do at least have to win out until that point for that to be a realistic hope.
Yeah, and Greensboro, if they are still have any at-large hope by making it to the SoCon Finals, they've got to win these last two regular season games at Citadel and Mercer. I guess we could say the same thing for Furman. If they have a hope at Samford, at Chattanooga, you got to sweep those two games before you get there.
Right. Our last show, this has been a fun league. It's probably been our favorite, or at least the highest performing under the radar conference, and that includes the Mid-American Conference.
Yes.
What a conference tournament this is going to be if the chalk holds to the semis, and it's those top four.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. Wofford-Furman semifinal. I mean, that's ridiculous. And Greensboro and East Tennessee State. East Tennessee State, not in the at-large picture, but a very good team.
They are, yeah.
They weren't able to beat any of the big boys this season, but beat everybody else they played pretty much. Mm-hmm. Southland Conference, where I do have a score update that's not going to be on the screen, but just went final. Sam Houston State, our first-place team, did just beat New Orleans, the second-place team that won final a couple minutes
ago. It's theirs. I think that clinches it, doesn't it?
I believe that does. Abilene Christian, some news. Two of their top three players gone for the season have both basically, you know, dismissed from the team this week. And such a great season they had, but that's kind of it for the Wild.
Yeah, and we don't know the circumstances. It's not a legal issue. We know that. It was just a team issue, which is, you know.
But we narrowly missed history being made on Saturday night, because Sam Houston State had a 25-point lead at home against Houston Baptist. But
with 5.5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
A 25-point lead with 5.5 minutes to go.
And then when they went to overtime, they fell behind by 6 points. They had a 31-point swing total.
Actually, Houston Baptist at the end of regulation had a wide-open shot on a steal to win the game. It did not get it in there. It was unbelievable comeback by Houston Baptist, but they just barely fell short. What a game. Go look at highlights of that one.
But at least their fans are not calling for their coach to be fired, unlike a team 100 miles down the river from where I am.
Oh, my God. Anyway, more on that tomorrow.
This is another conference that's going to have another week and a half left in regular season play in this conference, and I would note that only the top eight teams get in, but there is a big logjam between sixth to 12th place right now. So there should be some fun eliminations coming up.
Right. Yes. If you look, all the way down there from six down to 12. Good observation. Yes.
Yeah. And just to note, earlier we were discussing the Missouri Valley a few minutes ago. Loyola Chicago did just pull out that one point win at Northern Iowa. So they do remain tied for first place with Drake.
Yeah. And again, like when you're live on tape delay like this, you got to
Yeah. So we fixed that. Going over to the Southwestern Athletic Conference, David, I'll let you take it away from here, where Prairie View just keeps winning, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I think Texas Southern is still the best team, or at least the highest ceiling. Prairie View, certainly the most successful season. Should be a fun conference tournament because really, like by SWAC standard, it's been a kind of exciting year. A lot of parity. Grambling, who we were big on coming into the year, could still end up making a lot of noise and breaking a lot of stuff in the conference tournament.
Yeah, they're going to be a dangerous team to play. Now, remember, the format changed starting last year. The quarterfinals are on-campus sites before they go to Birmingham for the semis and the championship.
Yes.
Interesting battle for who gets that four seed and gets to host that 4-5 quarterfinal game between.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really gummed up there between those four teams. So.
But by the same token, I still think Alabama State needs at least one more win themselves to be assured of an on-campus game.
Yeah, but they've got
their arm by two. It won't be easy to get against Texas Southern or Prairie View for that matter either.
Yeah, you kind of circled that. That's interesting, John, that Alabama State hosting the top two teams this week. So we'll be keeping an eye on those games as well. Summit League.
Eventually.
Maybe. Do we need to go to replay again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. Let's see.
Oh, we just got to watch replay.
Yeah, we just got to watch.
Summit League, South Dakota State, with the win over Fort Wayne and over their rivals from South Dakota, now have a half-game lead on Omaha, and that's it. Tied in the loss.
Yeah, and again, Omaha winning against South Dakota State earlier, I mean, just about the other week. So these two are kind of running away from everybody else. South Dakota State continues to win, but they're having to sweat out a lot of games. You know, Fort Wayne, they didn't really always have control of that one. And so now they did. And then their rival, South Dakota, that was a really fun game to watch. So could this conference tournament be more exciting than what we expect? And could Omaha win it and go to dancing for the first time ever?
Well, the way this bracket is shaping up, they may also have to face other rival North Dakota State in the semifinal, should it come to that.
Yeah, but just one note here. If South Dakota State and Omaha do end up tied at the end of the regular season, Omaha does have the tiebreaker as of the moment.
Yeah, they do.
So keep an eye on that, because South Dakota State, with Mike Dahl, the 3,000-point scorer, might be the two seed in their conference tournament.
Yeah, they will, which means that the tournament is still being played in South Dakota.
Yeah, Omaha has to go to Oral Roberts and lowly Denver to end out the season. South Dakota State, one game left against lowly Western Illinois.
Yeah.
Denver on the verge of being eliminated off the survival board as well. Only the top eight teams make this conference tournament.
Yeah.
I think they've already moved on to lacrosse season at Denver.
Yeah.
Over in the Sun Belt, Texas State, another team that suffered a loss this past week. Their loss was to a half-decent Monroe team. It wasn't as surprising as some of the other top seeds that lost. Yeah. But then you follow up with Georgia State, could move into first. No, they lose to Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, they were down by 25 at one point. it was just, I mean, they must have, Myrtle Beach, nice place. They must have gone out and partied and had a great time the night before the game. What, just such an unimpressive, uncharacteristically unimpressive showing by Georgia State. And again, one of these leagues to where it's like, you assume Texas State and Georgia State are the two best teams, but they can't seem to run away with it. And Georgia Southern kind of in the mix all of a sudden.
Georgia Southern's been kind of like just on the outskirts all season long. And, you know, hey, they got their chances still. Upcoming schedule, you see here, Texas State has got the Alabama trip to Troy and South Alabama, while the Georgia State and Georgia Southern will be hosting Arkansas State and Arkansas Little Rock at home. So, don't expect anything big out of those games this week, but who knows?
Yep.
Last but not least, it is time for the Western Athletic Conference.
Yep.
New Mexico State, I don't know if they've quite clinched outright first place, but they're pretty much there at this point following their win over Rio
Grande Valley. Yeah, well, they've clinched a share. They're 13 games in with three to go, and they have a three-game lead. And what have they done? Have they played Utah Valley twice yet?
Not this one. Let's see if they have your final game against Utah Valley coming up here. We'll pull up the rest of the.
Well, they swept Grand Canyon. They swept everybody except Cal Baptist, who is not eligible. I just don't know if they've played Utah Valley for a second time yet.
They're playing at UMKC. Let's pull up their team sheet and take a look at this New Mexico State, because we got a question with them. You know, if this team wins out to the conference championship game, do they get any type of look at all?
I think they get a look. I don't see how they couldn't. They're automatically going to be on the board by virtue of being a first place team.
And they have swept Utah Valley, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. It's theirs. They've locked up number one. They've locked up at least an NIT bid. And when you look at some of these games, and I know that you have to peel the onion back to see, but like Grand Canyon is pretty good at home. Utah Valley, excellent at home. I think Utah Valley only has maybe one or two conference losses. I don't think that there's enough there. I do think they're going to have to win the tournament, but I think they're going to win the tournament anyway. Yeah. They've blasted through the league.
The only team they lost to was Cal Baptist, who's not even going to play in the conference tournament. So
right. And again, that does kind of handicap them. But this is a New Mexico State team that has answered the bell a lot. They haven't always played up to their ceiling, but when they have a full-strength Kansas team, they lost by two. They blasted New Mexico twice, including on the road.
But if you look at one of the games on their schedule, who would have thought back in December 22 during the Diamond Head Classic we would have had a matchup of potential conference leaders involving New Mexico State and Drake, which Drake actually won.
Yeah, and that was another loss that kind of hurt them a little bit.
Well, if we're going back that far, we got to go to replay, John.
Yeah, we got to go to replay.
Let's go over to our top 10 list. February 27th. We almost had a consensus. You see, we only have two honorable mentions this week. John, you also wanted to throw in honorable mentions to both Mike Dahlman and Chris Clemens, but Liberty and Vermont did not quite make the top 10. They did get a little bit of consideration. But number 10 in our top 10 list was Hofstra. Number 9, Yale. Despite the loss. Number 8, we got Old Dominion. David, yep. they got in there.
Greensboro. I like that Old Dominion team, Greensboro.
Surprisingly coming in there. 7. I think actually fell out of our top 10 last week, so getting back in there after the nice win over East Tennessee State.
The Eaters. Love for the Eaters. I'm glad to see that you guys are kind of behind them.
I think I rated them the same spot you did, David.
Yeah.
New Mexico State coming in at 5. We just discussed them.
Like them.
Coming in at number 4, Murray State.
Yeah, weak profile, but a good team.
Whereas number 2, Lipscomb. I'm sorry, number 3, Lipscomb.
Yes.
Despite the loss they had last week, not this week. Furman at number 2.
Ooh, Furman way up there.
Okay. And number 1, this might not be a surprise at all, Wofford no longer eligible, so there they are, number 1, the Belmont Bruins.
Yeah.
A team that I think has a legitimate argument should they lose in the OVC championship game.
Right. Now, they can't lose until then. But right. You know, they'll have the double bye, so they'll start off in the semis, and if they win that semifinal game, I think that should be enough.
Yeah, and then we just start to go to replay again. David, what are they looking at that monitor there?
I actually wondered what are they looking at.
I got a closer up view, actually. Hold on a sec. Let's see if we get up here.
Oh, you can zoom in. Wait a minute. Look at that. Wow. It's Coach Mason's strength and conditioning coach, Andy and Duran. That explains why. Oh, that was beautifully done.
I love that laugh and the echo right there.
I'm losing it here. Let's go to final thoughts. John, you're up.
Can't we just get right there?
I was going to say, we actually did tease Colgate earlier today, but we do have to applaud the Raiders because this is actually the first time in their program history that they have reached 20 wins. Last time they made the NCAA tournament was back in 1996 when they had two notable guys on their roster. One was Adonel Foyle, who was the first guy out of the Patriot League to actually make it to the NBA. And the second player, I believe, is Antonio Delgado, who is now a congressman out of the 19th District of New York. So we'll have to follow this Colgate team in their race to the finish for the Patriot League.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to follow them. They've had a great season, actually. But David, you want to finish off the show?
Yeah, in reference to replay, this isn't so much strictly under the radar, but it, you had said something earlier in the week. It may have been over the weekend that killed me on Twitter, and I hate paying you compliments, but you referenced Gogglebox, which is this is true. You might want to finish this off. It's your final thought, but yeah, Gogglebox is a show that's on. Does BBC America carry it?
I think it's only in the UK. Okay. I don't think it's in the United States even.
It's people watching things on television and talking, but you don't see what they're seeing. You just see them talk. It's a real thing. And we have that in the United States. It's called Replay.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
but yeah, it is ridiculous what's going on with this Replay, and I don't even know what to say about it. I was glad to see. We mentioned this on Monday night during the Hoops HD report. I was really glad to see the announcers coming down hard on the officials for how long they were doing these replays on the Tennessee LSU game there.
Right.
I guess on that note, then, that's it for our Under the Radar. We'll be back tomorrow night with the Bracket Rundown show. Late Sunday, Monday morning for the beginning of our Championship Week video notebooks. But on behalf of John Slica and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back again real soon.